If I look beyond the FWBO mandala wall, I see a far bigger mandala. And amazingly, I'm already part of it. I've been playing a part in it for over 30 years. I didn't know. It was a really wonderful realization that I'm already well established in such a rich and friendly and inspiring mandala. I don't mean it was because of any special activity relating to other Buddhists. No, simply because of my practice of the Dharma, I'm forging a connection with other Buddhists. It's like realizing that I already live in the Pure Land. You know, being a member of this particular order doesn't hinder that. On the contrary, it greatly enriches my participation in that great mandala. I realize I'm connected to a vast number of human beings who I can communicate with easily if I want. With many of them, I can open my heart just as I can with many order members. The link is already there because they've made the same changes in their lives that I've made. They've also been practicing the Dharma for years in parallel. So we're brothers and sisters in that great mandala, in that Vajrakula, the noble Buddha family. And before I realized that thing about the big mandala, beyond the mandala wall, I have to confess that my thoughts about these Dharma brothers and sisters were really quite strange. There's definitely some kind of inherited conditioning there as well. And one day, not tonight, I'll try to work out what was going on. And maybe it's something we all need to do. It was living at Majjhima Loka that I started thinking about other Buddhist movements. Several of the community were into making kind of diplomatic connections, and I found that all very, very interesting. And this was also the time when Tejananda and I were writing into Shabda about what just sitting meditation actually is. And I was trying to critique his analysis. I couldn't see that this was any more spatial than developmental, or any less developmental, really, than any other practice. But then Tejananda came to Majjhima Loka and he spoke to Bante. I don't know if they discussed the nature of just sitting, but Bante had agreed with Tejananda that it should be promoted and done much more. And that really gave me a shock. That really gave me a shock because I'd been thinking the opposite, actually. And then I realized that I hardly knew a thing about just sitting meditation. I've been writing into Shabda, you know, brainstorming with Tejananda, some kind of understanding of what we were doing. Yet, what ways did I have of verifying my understanding? What ways did anyone have? Indeed, what ways did Bante have, or did Tejananda have? What was the value in promoting it when we knew, seemingly, so little about it? When we'd learned so little about it? Bante's teaching of just sitting had been extremely enigmatic. He'd usually just chuckle and say, there's nothing to be said about it, except perhaps that you just sit. Well, lots of us, I mean, going back a few generations here, lots of us had done lots of that over lots of years. But we were still doing it in the dark. Nothing was coming from it. We needed answers to the questions that arose, or at least some dialogue. We needed a context for understanding the practice. I mean, even nowadays, a lot of order members find the issue of pure awareness baffling. And in those days, we didn't even have an issue to be baffled by. All we could see was a forest of question marks, the first stirring of the questions that eventually led to the explorations that people are doing now. It was just no longer useful simply to say, there is nothing to be said, you just sit. I wanted to know why. I wanted to know how. And I wanted not to have to work it out for myself any longer, because I had worked it out as much as I could on my own. I needed some kind of verification. I needed some way to ask those questions. And Bunty was not going to dialogue about these questions. He'd come up with answers to properly formulated questions, and then he'd give the answer. But the questions would need to be properly formulated. What if I didn't get the question quite right? I feared there would be an assumption that I didn't actually have a question, even that my questions might be seen as my problem. Bunty seemed to take no interest in examining an issue through dialogue to find out what somebody's real questions might be. Anyway, I realised I might as well seek guidance from someone else, and that's how I came to study with Shenpen Hookham. I met her when she visited Bunty. She's an old friend of his, and I'd studied a book of hers that had enjoyed a small following in the FWBO, Progressive Stages of Meditation on Emptiness, little green book. In fact, many of us at Madhyamaloka knew this book, and Subhuti had led study on it. I think several of us had done that. And this book had conveyed to me, more than anything I'd read, some kind of view of what just sitting is about. Moreover, I'd found the way it was expressed extremely accessible. You know, despite the traditional Tibetan Kagyu Nyingma framework, the author was clearly concerned to communicate to me. So I was so struck by this quality in her writing that when I realised I wanted some guidance, I immediately thought of Shenpen. And I wrote, I asked her if she'd teach me something. And she responded by suggesting the two of us do a short retreat. So, yeah, she and her husband, Mike Hookham, had recently established a retreat centre in Wales. So when I arrived, she told me the programme. 4 sessions of just sitting meditation, 3 lasting 2.5 hours, and 1 of 2 hours. I think the word is blanched. It is true that I do occasionally feel inspired to sit for 2.5 hours without getting up. It has happened. But it had never been exclusively the just sitting meditation that I'd done on such occasions. And I'd certainly never sat that way 4 times in a single day. So I really wondered if I'd be up for this. But then I thought, look, Kamala Sheila, we're in a bit of a magical realm here. It could be that if the teacher thinks you can, you can. So I said nothing. And I was amazed to find that it was very easy to sit that long. I got into the practice and enjoyed it. And, you know, we'd chat between sessions. And I just learnt tremendously from those few days. I got so much, not only from what I was taught, but even more from the way it was taught. So that, for me, that was the beginning of some very fruitful contact with a non-FWBO teacher.